morning and welcome to this week's Up and Running. Coming up on this morning's show, we're in the fifth programme of our Women of Sligo series. Our last show will be aired next Saturday, but today I'm delighted to be joined by Celine Daly, who is a clinical nurse specialist. Now, when I asked Celine what she thought she was good at, she did admit that she was very good with people, but what she didn't say, and which I'm going to say, is that she is an excellent communicator. Now, I've left this interview in its full because it touches on so many things that are relevant in our lives at the moment. It's also a very interesting interview.
Hi, my name is Celine Daly and I'm a dermatology nurse specialist working in Sligo University Hospital. And I live in Strandhill. I'm from Mayo originally and I have two children, Grace, who is nearly 15, Sean, who is 13, and I live with my partner, Liam.
Where do you like to go and think in Sligo?
The best place I can go to, and I'm so lucky in where I live because I live at the start of the loop in Strandhill. So I love the loop because you get sea, you get beach, you get wood. And often, and especially during lockdown, you could be the only person on that loop walk. So it's a great space to get some air in your lungs, go down the Nuns Beach and have a good think. So that's my favourite place to think.
What is your favourite moment of the day?
It has to be first thing in the morning. I'm a real morning person. I go to bed like 10 p.m. lights out here. Like, it's very boring in this house. So I'm the first in bed at night time, but I get up at 6:30 every morning. That's my religious time every morning. Even the weekends, I keep the same. And I don't need an alarm clock. I actually wake up, would you believe? So the routine in this house is I have to have two cups of tea before I function. So I get two cups of tea, two for me and one for Liam. And we sit up and we look at like Ireland AM, come on with the news. And we'll sip our tea and I'll just start my day. And that's my favourite time of the day.
What smell brings you back to your childhood?
Oh, I have a couple of smells. My mother always smelled beautiful. And I can't tell you it was Coco Chanel. It's not a specific perfume, but it was a beautiful smell. It could have even been soap. And I think I was terrified of the dark, Claire. When I was a child, I was absolutely terrified of the dark. And we moved home. I was born in the UK and we moved home to Ballina, County Mayo, when I was 5. And I didn't want to sleep alone. I was terrified there right till I was like early teens. It was really embarrassing for me. So I couldn't go on a sleepover in anyone's house because I was terrified. And my dad was from Donegal and he was a bit tougher now. He was a very tough man, but lovely. And he used to try and turn the lights off and I couldn't. So I used to frequently wake up at night time. I'd crawl in between the two of them in bed. Now this was like it was 11 and 12. And he'd go, oh my God. And Mammy would never give out to me. God love her. And you know the small little double beds people had years ago. They weren't like, there was no super kings. So the three of us would be wedged in this bed as a 12-year-old, terrified. And I can remember the smell of my mother making me feel so much calmer and lovely.
What's the most unkind thing that anyone has ever done to you?
This has happened to every woman I know. I think it's women betraying each other with gossip. I think it's women talking behind each other's backs. We've all done it. And we've all had it done to us and it really doesn't feel nice. And a few of us were talking at work. We did leadership morning there a few weeks ago and it was excellent. And there was a few people like exchanging ideas and we were, you know, having open conversation. And we were just talking about the amount of times that women drag down other women or that women don't support other women and realizing that if women support each other and spend less time focusing on other women and what they're doing and what they're getting. And, you know, that if you have that, then I can't get it. Not that there's room for everybody in the business. There's room for everybody in the audience. Men don't do that. They don't look at each other. They don't suffer from jealousy as much as women do. And they don't try and drag other people down. Whereas we do that. And I really believe that if we spent less time focusing and comparing each other, that we'd be in charge now. I believe there'd be a female Taoiseach. I believe there'd be female CEOs all over the country because I believe that women can do so much more and so much better. But I do think that, you know, we do betray each other. And I know I've been guilty of that in the past as well. But I think that, if to me, has been the most painful thing I've ever suffered.
What's your biggest regret?
Biggest regret is definitely all the dieting rubbish I've done over the years. I have been a dieter since my confirmation. To get into my culottes, I was on a diet. I remember the high from the first time I joined Weight Watchers and I lost weight, which was temporary because it well been back on again, and then some. I've bought it. I've done it around Sligo Town. I have done every exercise class. I've done every diet known to man. I've done it. And the same faces you meet, and you know, I've wasted so much of my life, you know, trying to lose weight, trying to losing weight and trying to buy something to make it easy and believing that if I lost weight, that it would make me infinitely happy, where you just have to be happy and then it all works out. And it's amazing that, you know, it's going back to what we did many, many years ago, which is just eat wholesome food that was good for you and had a little bit of what you fancy and enjoy that and then move on. So that's my biggest regret, is just wasting my time when I could have, you know, there's times when, say, Liam would like want to bring me out for dinner and I'm like, oh God, if I go out for dinner now, I'm going to have that and that and that. And, you know, COVID lockdown, we had no restaurants to go in. Would I not have given my eye teeth to go out and have a nice dinner? So yeah, no more regrets, no more dieting.
What are you most proud of?
The two kids. I'd have to say Grace and Sean, definitely. You know, you just, I think having babies, it's amazing how you, I had Grace and Sean, I was 27 and 29. And when I had them, it was about having a baby. I didn't really think about anything longer than having this beautiful baby in the prams and, you know, the mum's, you know, baby groups and all that good stuff and, you know, getting the beautiful clothes and dressing them up and blah, blah, blah. And you don't really think beyond that too much. But actually, now that they're teenagers, we're really enjoying the conversations that we have here at home, especially with lockdown now that we're kind of thrown more together. And, you know, they're actually advising me on life and they're telling me stuff that I didn't know before. And that's kind of scary in one way, but it's really beautiful and wonderful to see that, you know, they're growing up and they're changing. And it's lovely to see that they have their own personalities, not the personality I believe that they would have. So I thought, you know, your daughter would be like this and your son's like that and that's the way it is. But no, of course not. They're two individuals. They're completely individual. And it's only 18 months between them, actually. But they are completely different people and they add so much to this household. And the feedback, the worst thing is, though, when you get to be early 40s and your kids are teenagers, they start telling you stuff they remember from their childhood. And you're thinking, oh, my God, please tell me. Please tell me you don't remember that. Did I do that? And they're brilliant at impersonating me as well. They can take me off. They do impersonations of me and they think I'm the most embarrassing person in the world and all that. So, yeah, definitely my biggest achievement.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever got?
The best piece of advice is, and this was the best one, say yes to a good thing. Don't think about it. You say yes to it. I remember when I was offered the monthly slot on the Pat Kenny show. And instantly I started, oh, how am I going to get there? How and who and mind the kids and, you know, the rest of it. I thought, no, say yes and you'll figure it out after. You know, even recently, I had the opportunity to start a new course last September, a postgrad in nursing education. And I was advised to do it and I applied for it and I did it. I didn't ask how much the course cost, but I produced out a credit card after. And you think, you know what, the universe will bring me something that will, and it did. So I always say yes to a good thing. And if you're doing something, this is what Maya Angelou says, always say yes to a good thing. And if you're doing something that makes you nervous, bring people with you, alive or dead, who were good to you and who loved you. And I think that's a brilliant piece of advice. So if I'm doing an interview or if I have to go into a difficult meeting or whatever it might be, I take a breath in a second and I ask everybody who loved me to come with me. And you feel their presence there when you go in and you can feel your shoulders coming back a little bit and you can relax and you know that you're loved and you can perform better. So I think that's the best piece of advice I ever got.
What do you think you have in yourself that you inherited from your parents?
My parents are completely different. They're just polar opposites completely. So my parents met in the UK many, many years ago at a dance. My mother is beautiful looking. She really is beautiful looking. Now, she doesn't know that, but she doesn't realise it herself, but she's absolutely beautiful looking woman. And I think my father definitely thought she was the most beautiful looking woman at the dance, because she was. And my mother is nursing background, very kind, and when I was very young, because she ran a nursing home in the UK, so we had an apartment on top of the nursing home and then the house we went to at the weekends, and because you would help out, and I seen her kindness in action. I seen her in the way she helped people, and that's why I want to be a nurse, because I seen how Mammy worked, how she made a difference to people's lives, and how she always said that kindness was the most important thing. Nothing else counts. So whatever you have in your bank account, whatever kind of car you drive, whatever house you live in, how you treat people and how you project yourself on the universe and how you make people feel is so much more important. And it is. And I try to live that every day. You're supposed to treat people how you would like to be treated. And she always said that, treat people how you would like to be treated.
Who's the love of your life?
Oh, Liam Tarpey. Liam Tarpey is the love of my life. And I've been so blessed and so lucky to meet Liam Tarpey. And the first time I met Liam was 2011. And I was divorced. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult being divorced in Ireland. And that was, over 10 years ago now. And it's not the most common thing to be divorced in Ireland yet. And I hope it's not. Like, the great thing is that marriages, you know, do very well in Ireland. But, you know, it's quite difficult when you're young with a young family and you're separated, because it's a little bit unusual still. And it can be difficult for people that separate, because there's still a maybe little stigma attached to it. And it doesn't have to be like that. You know, if a marriage breaks down, or a relationship long-term breaks down, that's very sad. But, you know, you do have to move on, and children have to be accommodated. So when I met Liam initially, he's a pilot with Aer Lingus, and I just don't know. I was in such a mourning place and things weren't good. And I felt like he had the kind of personality that just I couldn't do it. And then I had surgery in 2013, and Liam, through a mutual friend, I didn't realise, had been asking how I was and inquiring about me and stuff. Our friend said, well, you know, Celine, I think, had an operation or whatever, so maybe you need to like ring her and see if she's okay. And he did, and he invited me out for dinner, and we went, and then he invited me to his cousin's wedding in Galway, and I went to that, and then it took off from there. And I remember that kind of feeling of, you know, you've come out of a relationship and you're nervous. And I can remember Liam saying to me, and because I was kind of in and out, a bit wishy-washy, and he said, you know, if you trust me, I'll show you that you can trust me. So if you give me a chance, I'll show you that you can trust me. And he did. And the best thing about Liam is, by far, I am flighty, and I am, I make up a little bit of a story sometimes, and I can fabricate a story, and I might go arms and legs in the story to make it good. And Liam tells the truth completely. Like, what you see is what you get. Just the truth. And, you know, big life decisions, he'd say to me, Celine, you know, really, just think about that one now. And I think now maybe you're, just have a think about it. And the annoying thing about Liam is, the wonderful thing is to tell the truth. The annoying thing is, he's always right, which is really annoying. Really annoying. The one thing that has made Liam incredibly happy, well, is us and Strandhill. Liam Tarpey loves Strandhill, and Strandhill is the most amazing place to live.
Just in case you've just joined us on Up and Running, this is the fifth programme in the Women in Sligo series, and this morning we're featuring Celine Daly. Who is your best friend?
I just say Liam. If I heard people saying this years ago, I'd say, oh my God, you're such a saddo. But really, he's my best friend because he tells me the truth. And sometimes I don't want to hear it, and I don't like to hear it. But he is the one, he's not the one person, but I know that he's my best interest at heart all the time, bar none, and none of his own interest at heart. And I have to say, Grace is nearly 50, she's 15 on Thursday, and we would say the same thing about Liam. He is just, you feel like, and he's tall, he's like 6'6", 6'7", and you feel like, you know, when he gives you a hug, you feel like you're safe. Everything is fine. But he's very embarrassing as well. When he picks her up at the earth sign, she's mortified. He blows the horn. He double parks. He's one of these people that double parks at the garage and holds the traffic and everything. So, yeah.
Your most treasured memory?
Oh, I think my most treasured memory is my grandmother's house. My grandmother's house was such a fantastic place to be. And she always had animals. She had dogs and cats, and she grew vegetables like strawberries. She told us the most fabulous stories. So she grew up in Foxford, but she used to tell some amazing stories about her childhood and how she grew up. And her mum died from a perforated appendix when she was 9, which was many, many years ago, talking about the early 1900s. And her dad was actually working over in England at the time and came home to his wife was deceased. And he was the most wonderful man, and he made bread, and he, you know, he kept the house for them, and they had a wonderful childhood. But she was the most loving, kind, cuddly, lovely granny, just a fabulous granny. And when you'd stay over with her, you'd sleep in with her, and she'd rattle off loads of prayers. She'd go on for half an hour, and there was a kind of a rhythmic thing to it, and you'd almost fall asleep to this, like, rattling off of the prayers. And she was always very warm, and but she always had biscuits and Jaffa cakes and all that kind of stuff, all that really good stuff. But the one memory I have of her, she her name was Nora, and I'm Celine Nora Daly, named after Nora. But when she went, she never seen her birth certificate. So she went to, she walked to Ballina to get her, she was so excited to get her pension money. It was the first time she'd no, she didn't know a job, you know, she was a, well, she did, she was a housewife, but she had no paying income. And her husband was wonderful to her and everything, but they never had any money. And she walked to Ballina this day to get this pension. She was so excited. She was getting a pension book. So she walked to the post office and they hand out the book to her. And her name is actually Honoria. It's not Nora, but she never knew what her name was. Her real name is Honoria, and she thought this was hilarious. We all were hilariously funny. But she, I used to walk down to her on a Friday, and then we'd walk into town to do her shopping. So you go up to get her pension, and there was a little, if anyone grew up in the 80s, there was a kind of a budgie parrot, a fake parrot in a kind of a cage, and you put tenpence in and you get this egg out and he talked to you. And I used to beg my mother for the tenpence, and she would never give it to you because it was a crap basically. So I remember walking my grandmother past this budgie, this fake parrot, up to the post office, and I said, "Oh, look at that, Nan." And she said, "I'm going to get my pension money, I'm going to change it and bring it down." And she would always put the tenpence in for you. And, you know, the poor woman, you know. And we do her shopping and we get a taxi back to her house, which is such a novelty, getting a taxi. But she was such a warm, kind, and it was a loving atmosphere, a wonderful atmosphere to grow up in. So that's the one memory from my childhood, that budgie. But anyone who is now 40 will know what I'm talking about. That budgie that used to give out the toys, and your mother would never give you the tenpence for it.
I wouldn't say you have this very often, but what do you do when you have a spare half hour?
I love rubbish TV, like Say Yes to Dress, or Myself and Grace. And I, you know what, your children do watch what you do, and now Myself and Grace are into like murder shows, or the really rubbishy teenage shows, the reality TV, all that. I'm a closet kind of a Harry Potter fan as well. I absolutely love the Harry Potter movies. I love them, and nobody wants to watch them with me here, so I have to do it solo. So if I get the chance, and the kids are like, "How many times have you watched this movie?" But I don't know what it is about them. I love them, and I'll curl up, because I'll have to go up to bed to watch it because no one wants to watch with me, a cup of tea and a Harry Potter movie and curling up. And that's just, yeah.
I just want to remind our listeners that this morning I'm joined by clinical nurse specialist Celine Daly. What do you think you're really good at? Like, what's your greatest virtue?
I was the kind of kid that was never really good at anything, if you know what I mean. In school, I absolutely couldn't do any sports. I have dyspraxia, which is kind of like a movement thing where you're just clumsy, basically. And I was never any good at sports. I was never the top person in any. I couldn't do maths, no. Languages, no, couldn't. Home economics, oh, please, no. Nothing. So I was never really, if you ask me what I was good at, like, I was never really good at anything. But I did know I wanted to do nursing, and I liked helping people. And now through my career, I realise that I'm really good at engaging with people, convincing people to maybe change their minds if they've made their mind up about something. Maybe seeing people from the perspective of their life experience. So when patients come into clinics, you can't see them like they just have a disease and that's what's wrong with them, or there's something, an illness there, and we just fix that and that's it. You have to see them coming in as people who are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters with a whole host of issues that they might be bringing in with them. And I think that I'm really good at maybe, engaging people and locking them in and connecting with them and using my own life experience to do that as well. And when I trained in the UK, do my dermatology master's, that's something that we're talking about in nursing a lot now. It's about non-judgmental care of people. So we don't judge, we should not judge anybody that's coming in for any reason whatsoever. Be open and use your own life experiences. So things like, you know, being divorced, or, you know, battling and going on and off diets, or having disordered eating, for example. You can bring that into your experience and help people out as well. Because many years ago, when people came into hospitals, for example, they felt the doctors and nurses were kind of in judgment of people. And, you know, you had to, it's almost like going to confessions. You had this rattle of what you say off, oh, 2 units of alcohol a week and I don't smoke and I exercise every day. You know, but we can't do that anymore. And I think I'm good at non-judgmental care and engaging with people. And remembering, and I say this to my kids all the time, I was never any good at anything at school. But not many people are, actually. There's not one talent that you're good at in school. So don't worry if you're not good at something in school, because you'll go to college and you'll be brilliant at something. And that's, everyone I know says the same thing. The people that weren't fabulous at different things in secondary school went to college and were fabulous at something else. So never give up. If you don't feel you have a special talent, it's there somewhere. But you need time, you need maturity, you need to go and live, and you'll find out what you're special at then.
Is there anything that you don't like about yourself?
If you asked me this 20 years ago, I'd have a list as long as my arm. If you asked me this 10 years ago, I would have lots of stuff. And now I really don't. I don't, because I think I'm still alive, which is great. And I'm here and I'm functioning. And I suppose circling back to that whole intuitive eating versus maybe regressing, you know, hating yourself. And you get a great insight into life when you work in healthcare and you see what people go through. And you think that you know that saying, if you put your problems out in front of you and everyone else did along a line and you've seen your own, you take your own back, and you take your own back tenfold. So I think accepting ourselves more is so important, and not categorizing myself into, I don't like my arms and I don't like my bum and I don't like my belly and I don't like the way my head looks or my hair looks, because we're lucky in the way that we look and in what we have. And I think if we start all telling ourselves that and projecting that, younger people, like our teenage girls particularly, I feel, will start accepting themselves as well. Because I think I really believe that many years ago, even though we didn't have mindfulness and we didn't have, you know, mentors, I think that we had a better body self-image than young girls have now. I think they've been just, you know, bombarded with images on social media platforms that are completely impossible to attain. So I think it's really important that we change the narrative. And really, and it's something, as I said, my kids are repeating stuff I'm saying now. My kids are, you know, telling me stuff I did years ago. I'm thinking they're listening, they're watching and they're listening. So I think it's so important that we become their mentors and we become their champions and stop beating ourselves up, first of all, because you can't love anyone else unless you love yourself. So there's nothing I would change about myself, actually.
And is there somebody in particular or a group of people in particular you admire in Sligo?
I would have to say there's a woman in Sligo Hospital. Her name is Teresa Donnelly, and a lot of people listening would know Teresa. Teresa is an amazing nurse, and she is Assistant Director of Nursing in Nurse Practice Development in the hospital. And Teresa has been a really great mentor for me, and we've been involved in a couple of different things with mindfulness in the hospital, with leadership, with students, and, you know, with education. And she is so refreshing. She's so honest. She's so down to earth. And Teresa supports other women. Teresa absolutely mentors other women and supports other women, particularly in healthcare and nursing. And there has never been a more exciting time to be involved in nursing, actually. I mean, nursing has come on so much. We have our degree, undergraduate programme. We have the most fabulous facility in St. Angela's College in Sligo. We have the most wonderful faculty out there. And I had the opportunity this year of doing the postgrad in nursing education and being out there and working with the staff. And I mean, the nurse training that happens in St. Angela's is absolutely cutting edge. It's as good as anywhere around the world, if not better than some parts of the world. So, you know, these people are just wonderful in what they're doing, and that they're putting nurses out there that will care for us when we're older, and they are the best of the best. But Teresa, from a personal point of view and from a Sligo hospital point of view, is somebody who I believe is just so powerful and so wonderful, and is that kind of woman who will mentor other women and will champion other women. So she's somebody that I really admire.
And finally, I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear, what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my guilty pleasure has to be, I have a love of Pick-a-Mix. I absolutely love Pick-a-Mix. And I think it's a psychological issue, because there was a Quinsworth in Ballina many years ago. And when you went in the door, there was a massive Pick-a-Mix. Now, apparently people only stole the Pick-a-Mix. Nobody ever purchased it in the history of the time it was there. And they just took it away in the end up, I think. But I just... it's putting the shovel in, it's putting out the sweets. I don't know, is it like want to be a shopkeeper or what? It's something about that that's just fantastic. Now, then I remember being in the cinema, you know, many, many years ago, and seeing somebody putting their hand in, thinking, oh, that's not that great now with COVID or whatever. But I have to say, it's them small little things that I love. Now, I absolutely love going to Dublin shopping as well. It's just... Oh man, I absolutely love it. I love it because I'm poor Liam isn't there and I can just load up the car and, you know, divert. It was painful with online shopping because we couldn't get anything delivered to the hospital during COVID. So we had to get everything delivered to the house. And I had with my delivery man, like, Jesus, we were first name basis. Like, we basically knew everything about each other at one point. And I know there was a Brown Thomas Jack had dumped in a cement mixer out the back of one stage. So my guilty pleasure is both pick and mix and shopping, unfortunately.
That's it for the fifth programme in the Women of Sligo series. We have our last show going out next Saturday, and I hope you can join us then. I particularly want to thank Celine Daly for joining us this morning on the show. A very bright and engaging interview. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to listen back to the Women of Sligo, you can go to oceanfm.ie. You just click podcast, or you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Ocean FM Ireland. Until next week, thanks for listening.